Hi there, this is Harry and welcome back to my podcast where I try to help you to get a better understanding of the English language to improve your conversational English, business English, and we look at grammar, phrasal verbs and other expressions. And today we're going to look at some particular expressions and phrases that you might like to use. As always, if you have somebody who you think might enjoy this, well, pass them on the details and they are very welcome to join. And at the end, I'll give you my contact details if you wish to contact me. Okay, so quite a few people are complaining that I talk too much, so I'll try to lessen what I say and give you more examples, and hopefully that will help everybody. Okay, so let's see what we're going to do then this week. This particular podcast, we're going to talk about phrases and expressions where you want to avoid giving a direct answer. It's very good for politicians. They love avoiding a direct answer, and other people try to avoid giving a direct answer when they don't have the information and they really want to, as we say, play for a bit of time, or as we say in English, to kick for touch. Kick for touch comes from a football expression when the ball goes over the goal line or the touch line, as it's sometimes called. It goes out of play and you waste a bit of time. So to kick for touch means to waste some time and give yourself the opportunity to come back with a more detailed answer. Okay, so the expressions we're going to use are, I'll have to get back to you on that, or I'll have to get back to you about that. You can use either preposition. I cannot give you an answer right now. I'd rather not say. I'm not in a position to answer that. I'll have to think about it. It's out of my hands. I'm a bit busy at the moment. I can't say for certain. I'll let you know. And then finally, I'll see what I can do. So what I'll try to do is give you some examples of how we use them. Some of them are very formal, quite business orientated. Others you can use in both business and your personal life. Okay, so let's start with the first one. I'll have to get back to you on that, or I'll have to get back to you about that. So this is a very typical way of avoiding a direct answer. You're really here playing for time, trying to avoid either not wanting to give the person the answer or having to scramble around and try to find the information. So you get a call from your boss, you get a call from a supplier or whoever you're dealing with in the office, and they ask you quite a detailed question. Could be to do with pricing, could be to do with delivery, it could be to do with signing contracts, any aspect like that. But they're putting you under a bit of pressure. So you want, as I said, to kick for touch. So you'd say, well, look, I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I don't have the information now. I'll have to get back to you on that. Or you give them a time scale. I'll have to get back to you on that. How about I call you tomorrow or later in the day? As I said, you can use either preposition, so you can say, I'll have to get back to you on or about that particular issue. Okay, so it can, as I said, it can be used when you want to play for time. You might be talking to your boss. He's asking you for the accounts. He's asking you for your monthly report. If it's your supplier, he's asking for payment. Or if it's a customer, he wants to know when the delivery is going to take place, and you need to find out why it's held up, what's happened in the dispatch room or the warehouse. So you need to go and find out. So it's quite common to say, well, look, I don't have the information in front of me. Give me a little while and I'll get back to you on it. Okay, so I'll have to, or I will get back to you on that. Next is, I can't give you an answer right now. Well, as it says, you're not in a position to give the person an answer right now, because either you don't have the information or perhaps you don't have permission to give them the answer that they are looking for. So you just give them the direct statement. Again, I understand what you're saying. Yes, I know what you want. I know the question. I can't give you an answer right now. I'm going to have to come back to you. Okay, so you're being very honest, very frank, and often that is the best way to be, frank and honest. And I cannot give you an answer right now. Leave it with me. It might take me a day. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And of course, the most important thing is that you make a diary note and get back to them, because if you don't, then you're going to have another problem, because they're going to want to know why you didn't get back in the time scale you promised. And of course, that might make them suspicious that you don't actually want to give them the answer. So, I cannot give you an answer right now. I'd rather not say. This might be something you can use from a personal point of view. So, somebody gives you some personal information. They've asked you not to tell anybody else. But, you know, you inform a friend or somebody else about this fact. And they say, well, who told you that? Or where did you get that information from? Well, I'd rather not say. So where you've given somebody a commitment, an undertaking that you will respect their confidentiality and privacy, well, then, of course, you can't break it. But you might say to somebody, look, you need to be really careful when you're talking to that person. There's some information about him that you need to know. And then the person says, well, you can't just leave it like that. Where did you get this information from? Well, I'd rather not say, but you can take it from me that it's absolutely true. But my source wants to keep it a secret and their identity a secret. So I'd rather not say where I got the information from. So you're informing somebody, but you're not breaking the confidence. And you're using this expression, I'd rather not say. So it's usually used when we cannot or will not divulge information that we've received from a third party on a confidential basis, and we want to make use of the information they've given us without disclosing somebody's details, because if you do, then they'll obviously know where the source is, and that might cause somebody some embarrassment. You might be leaving your job and you go to your boss and say, I've received another offer. It's a really generous offer and I'm going to consider it, but I thought I'd give you the respect and opportunity to see what you can do. Perhaps you can make a counter offer, or perhaps we can come to some arrangement. And the boss might press you and say, well, okay, I appreciate coming to talk to me, and I appreciate that you've given me the heads up or the advance notice about this. Of course, we don't want you to leave. Can you tell me who you've received the offer from? And you, again, to respect the confidentiality of the company, because you might end up going there, would say, look, I'd rather not say who it is at the moment. I just thought I'd let you know. So in case you hear it in the marketplace, because the marketplace can be quite small, I want you to know that I've received the offer. Of course, I'm going to consider it, but I want to give you the courtesy of letting you have advance notice. So that's been quite polite. It's been very mature and professional, but you're not disclosing where the information come from or who the company is that has made you the offer. So you would use the expression, I'd rather not say. Next is, I'm not in a position to answer that. Well, here is a very, very direct way of responding to perhaps a question from somebody in the newspapers, a journalist or somebody, online journalist, who is asking some particular information that he believes you have, maybe in connection with your company or a competitor, and they call you and ask you directly for a quotation or to confirm some information. So you just quite honestly answer, well, look, I'm not in a position to answer that. It's not my responsibility to give you that information. I'm not in a position to do it. You could also use the expression, which we often use in English, that's well above my pay grade. So meaning that I don't get paid enough to answer questions like that. So you're going to have to go to somebody else. So it's above or well above my pay grade. I'm not in a position to answer that. Often used in situations where perhaps there's some merger or acquisitions activity between two companies. Your company is involved in either taking over another company or being taken over by another company, and somebody in the press who knows you, a journalist, has contacted you to try and get some inside information about what's happening with the deal. And you quite honestly say, well, look, I would like to help you, but I can't. I'm not in a position to answer that. This is very delicate, very sensitive information, and I'm just not in a position to answer that. If I give you some information, it'll be very obvious where it came from. So it might be risky for me. I'm not in a position to answer that. You might add, I'm not in a position to answer that right now, and you might be able to give them some information later on. I'll have to think about that. Well, we can use this in many, many different situations. One of your kids wants to borrow the car. the last time he borrowed the car, it wasn't a happy experience, and you're not so keen to lend it to him or her again. So they ask you, can I take the car for the weekend? Some of us are going to the beach. I'll have to think about that. It didn't end so well the last time. Oh, Dad, you know, that wasn't my fault. And, you know, the usual things that kids come up with as excuses. Well, you will want to buy yourself some time. Look, you'll have to leave it with me. I'll have to think about it. I'm not promising. I'm not guaranteeing. I'll sleep on it and I'll talk to you tomorrow. So sleep on it means I'll spend the night thinking about it, and it'll give you a bit of a time to either think up an excuse why you don't want to, or come to some understanding as to what they have to do to gain your trust again to borrow the car. I'll have to think about it. That might simply be husband or wife asking one another to make an arrangement to go to the theatre, to change the decoration in the apartment or the house, to book a holiday to a particular destination. I'm not so sure I want to go there. I'll have to think about it. Do we have an alternative? Or is there another choice? Or is there something else we could do? So again, you want to buy a little bit of time. You want to think about it before you give a definite yes or a definite no. I'll have to think about it. It's out of my hands. Well, when we use this expression, it really means that you have no control on the situation. You can't influence the situation to any extent. Somebody above you has probably taken over this particular problem, and you can not influence the situation in any shape or form. Look, I'm really sorry. It's out of my hands now. The boss has it, and he's going to make the final decision. So something happened in the office. Two of your colleagues, some deal went wrong. You were going to sort it out, but the boss found out about it. He's not so happy. So he's gone to read the file, check up on the information, and he's going to make a decision. So all you can do to talk to your colleagues is say, well, look, I tried my best, but somehow the boss found out before I could make a decision. So it's out of my hands, but leave it with me. I'll see what I can do. Could be a situation in the school with their children. Somebody's pulled a prank and it didn't go so well, and somebody got a bit embarrassed. The teacher had to report it, because he's obliged to the head, and the head is going to make a decision about disciplinary action against a couple of the kids involved. Nothing serious, but that's the way schools operate. And when a parent contacts the teacher to say, well, look, you know, it wasn't really deliberate, it was a prank that went wrong, and the teacher says, well, look, I'm really sorry. It's out of my hands. It's with the head teacher. He's going to have to make a decision. Of course, if you wish to talk to him, you can do so. But right now, it's out of my hands. I have no control over the situation. Again, if we want to kick for touch a little bit, we can just simply use the expression, I'm a bit busy at the moment, which might be true. It's easy to say that, particularly at the current time when people can't see exactly what you're doing if you're working from home. So, you know, if you don't want to give an immediate answer, you don't want to be sort of held at gunpoint to give a quick decision. So you need some time to think about it. So look, I'm a bit busy at the moment. Leave it with me, or send me an email. Give me a couple of days, all these sort of excuses, and you'll get back to the person. So I'm a bit busy at the moment. Yeah. Or the daughter or son comes into you and they want some help with some mathematical problem or some science problem, and you believe you're way out of your depth because of the modern curriculum in the schools. And you say, well, look, kids, I'm a bit busy at the moment. Can you leave it? Ask your mum, or just give me a little while and I'll see what I can do. But I'm just a bit busy at the moment. I can't say for certain. Well, when we use this, I can't say for certain, it means you don't actually know. You might be able to guess, but there's no point guessing because you may be wrong. And if you guess and you are wrong, well, you might put the person on the wrong path or put them in the wrong direction. So you really prefer not to give a definite answer. So you're a little bit indefinite and you say, I can't say for certain. I can't say for certain when I'll be finished the project. You know, when are you going to get it to me? Well, I can't say for certain because I'm waiting for the accounts department or IT or somebody to come back to me. But let me check with them and I'll get back to you. I can't say for certain what happened because I actually wasn't really looking. I was just walking along the street. I heard a bang. Two cars crashed into each other. But I didn't see it actually happening. I saw the after event, but I can't tell you who was in the wrong or who was right. I just can't say for certain. So I'd rather not say. So somebody might be asking you to be a witness to a traffic accident. And you don't want to get involved, or quite literally you didn't really see what happened because you were looking the other way or you're on your phone. Another way of avoiding the answer is, I let you know. Famous last words when you apply for a job or you are thinking about making an offer for a car that's advertised, or somebody's trying to sell something to you and you don't want to make a hard and fast decision. Perhaps you're looking for an easy way out. So you just simply say to the person, look, thanks for the information. I'll let you know, or I'll get back to you. Yeah. And once you hear those words, I think it's pretty obvious in most situations that they won't get back to you, then they won't let you know. But this is the sort of the soft letdown, particularly in job situations. Okay, thanks for coming in. Thanks for meeting us. It was good to see you. We'll get back to you. We'll let you know. Yeah. And in 99.9 times out of 100, they never do. And that's just the way the modern world works. I'll let you know. If they're really key and interested in you, then they'll have other words that they will use. Say, well, look, you know, we're really delighted you came in. We're happy that we've met you. Give us a couple of days and we'll get you back to meet, you know, the key people involved, something like that. And that's a lot more certainty in that response than there is in, I will let you know. And then finally, I'll see what I can do. Well, again, here's when somebody doesn't really want to get involved. He's not sure that he or she can influence the situation. And even if they could, they might not want to. So the best way to avoid giving a direct answer is, I'll see what I can do. So you buy yourself a little bit of time. Perhaps you go off and talk to somebody else. You explain the situation. Tell them you don't want to get involved. And how can you let the other people down without hurting their feelings? So leave it with me. I'll see what I can do. It gives you time to come back and say, look, I talked to the people involved, but they won't change their mind. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. I did my best. So I'll see what I can do. Okay, so let me just run through those again for you. Avoiding giving a direct answer. These are expressions, some that are very obviously business, some in the personal way that you can use them. So I'll have to get back to you on or about that. Very definitely business. I can't give you an answer right now. Very definitely business English. I'd rather not say personal, where you've given some assurance or guarantee that you wouldn't break a confidence. I'm not in a position to answer that. Well, it could be either business or personal. I'll have to think about it. Probably more personal than business. It's out of my hands. Very definitely non-personal. It's probably business or school-related matters or something which is quite important. I'm a bit busy at the moment. So you could be responding to a query from one of your staff, a query from one of your colleagues, or even from the family. I'm a bit busy at the moment. So I just can't say for certain. So you could be trying to explain to your husband or wife why you don't want to do something, or they keep asking you what the matter is and you can't say for certain because you don't know. You have to wait until you get more information. I let you know. Yes, a good response in business when you want to let somebody down without telling them definite no. I will let you know. And I'll see what I can do. So father to his son, father to daughter, wife to son or daughter. I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can persuade your father to lend you the car. I can't make any promises. I'll see what I can do. Okay, so useful language when you want to avoid giving direct answer. And as always, if you want to contact me, then I'll give you a very definite direct answer if you have any information. So you can join me. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, as I've said before, well, why don't you pass it on to your friends and we can all enjoy each other's comments. Okay, if you need to contact me, you can do so on www.englishlessonviaskype.com. I just want to let you know about my wonderful Advanced English Language course, or Marathon English Language course. There are over 53 hours of English learning. Yeah, 53 hours. It's advanced English. It's advanced English for those people wanting to improve their English from their current level. 45-minute lessons online recorded by me based around engaging video materials, advanced English vocabulary, slang, phraseology, complex grammar structures, pronunciation practice, and at the end of it all, you have homework in every individual lesson. And if you send it to me, I'll check it and I'll get back to you. Perfect for mature learners. For those of you who are a little bit shy or introverted about having one-to-one lessons, or those of you who don't have the time to have one-to-one lessons. Any type of learner out there looking to improve their English language, why don't you join my crew and buy it?